visible, are all wanting nothing but peace. They all wish to put their gun in the guest room.
We're going to have to leave it right there. That was Anne Gwynn. That does wrap it up for another edition of Flashpoints. The program is heard every weekday from 5 to 6. Produced by myself, Dennis Bernstein, with associate producer Leslie Kane. We had help today from Pema Chokan, Christian Zimmerman, Christopher Martinez. Check us out on the web, www.flashpoints.net. My name is Dennis Bernstein, and that's it for the show.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. Coming up next, Queer Voices.
Join the Pride Committee of Houston as they celebrate the 25th anniversary of the city's annual Pride Parade. The parade will kick off at 8:45 p.m. on Saturday, June 28th on Westheimer between Woodhead and Whitney. With more than 100 floats, live entertainment, and celebrity appearances, this year's parade will be a celebration of diversity and culture unparalleled in Houston. For more information on Pride-related events or becoming a volunteer for the Silver Celebration, call 713-529-6979 or visit www.pridehouston.org. Once again, that's June 28th for the 25th Annual Pride Parade right here in Houston, Texas.
FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the les, bi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
And good evening. Before we go to the BBC News on the top of the hour, actually at 1 minute after the hour, happy Pride to everybody, because it's gay, lesbian, transsexual, bi-gender, all of that type of stuff, Pride that we're celebrating here in Houston, and we've been talking to a number of people who are doing Pride events. And we'll also be wrapping up some of the stuff in Austin because they had their Pride over the weekend. You're listening to KPFT Houston, K208DG in Galveston, and now we go to London for the BBC News.
With Zineb Ahmed, more foreign nationals are to be evacuated from the Liberian capital, Monrovia, as rebels close in on the city centre in their campaign against President Charles Taylor. Ghana has announced it's sending a navy ship and several aircraft to evacuate its citizens. The United Nations Security Council has expressed alarm and called on all sides to cease hostilities. From the UN in New York, Greg Barrow reports.
The Security Council, like the UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, is sending out the message that it's following events in Liberia with increasing concern. Council members gathered on Monday to hear a briefing about Liberia, where fierce clashes between government troops and rebel forces have moved to the edge of the capital, Monrovia. The council echoed the views of Mr. Annan, who had earlier warned of the dangers facing Liberian civilians as the fighting escalates. In a short statement, the Security Council president for the month of June, the Russian ambassador Sergei Lavrov, said members were deeply concerned about the recent developments and were calling on all sides to immediately cease hostilities.
A delegation from the United Nations Security Council has begun a 9-day tour of Africa to try to end the fighting in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The UN party is beginning its mission in the Angolan capital, Luanda, where it's due to meet President José Eduardo dos Santos on Tuesday. Angola was one of several countries that until recently had troops in Congo. Unknown gunmen have kidnapped at least 50 people, including several foreigners, in a remote mountainous region of Peru. Police say the hostages were seized in an attack on a camp high in the Andes, run by an Argentine company which is constructing a pipeline to carry natural gas from the Peruvian jungle to the Pacific coast. A report on trade union rights around the world has identified Colombia as the most dangerous country for union members. According to the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, Colombia accounted for all but 29 of more than 200 people killed worldwide last year because of their activities for workers' rights. Emma Jane Kirby reports.
The International Confederation of Free Trade Unions denounced an appalling toll of murder, beatings, disappearances, and intimidation in Colombia, warning that such violations of rights were carried out with virtually total impunity. Members of public sector unions, such as teachers and health workers, were the most common victims, targeted, according to the report, both by right-wing paramilitaries and leftist rebels in Colombia's civil war. 206 union-related killings took place last year across Latin America, with 184 of those murders being committed in Colombia. And the report said that at least 10,000 workers were also fired during workplace disputes in the region.
You're listening to the news from the BBC. The British government says it's launching a campaign to win over public favour in favour of the European single currency. The Prime Minister, Tony Blair, and the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Gordon Brown, will be holding a joint news conference in Downing Street to try to persuade Britons the euro could be in their patriotic interest. It comes the day after the Chancellor told Parliament the time was not yet right to join the euro, as the economic tests his department has devised before recommending membership has not yet been met. Sean Curran reports.
It was standing room only in the House of Commons. This had been billed as one of the great parliamentary occasions, perhaps the most important statement for a generation. In the event, it took the Chancellor just 32 minutes to deliver his long-awaited verdict on Britain's membership of the euro. At times, it sounded like he was about to say yes, but in the end, Gordon Brown concluded, to jeers from Tory MPs, that Britain wasn't ready to join the single currency. Four out of the Treasury's five economic tests had not been met, and further major reforms of the economy were needed.
A senior member of the Palestinian Authority has described Israel's start in dismantling unauthorized Jewish settler outposts in the West Bank as a step in the right direction. But in a BBC interview, the Palestinian Minister for Labour, Ghassan Khatib, said he wanted the Israeli Prime Minister, Ariel Sharon, to fulfil his more difficult obligations under the roadmap for peace, such as stopping the expansion of approved settlements. A survey of university students in Sudan suggests female genital mutilation is still widespread, despite a high proportion of young people saying they were at the procedure. Researchers found that although the practice was illegal, more than half the female Khartoum University students they spoke to had themselves undergone the mutilation, sometimes called female circumcision. And that's the end of this bulletin of World News.
This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. This is Jack Falinski.
I'm Joan Devlin.
J.D. Doyle.
I was glaring at J.D. because after 6-7 years on the show, he thinks I don't know enough to stop reading when it's my time to be on the air.
But you don't, and I'm Glenn Holt.
Well, let's...
Shut up, Glenn.
Let's talk about... Oh, my headphones are dead. Our clock doesn't work here, but, you know, we still do the show. Let's talk first about J.D. going to New York.
Hi, J.D. What'd you do?
I had 12 wonderful days. I went to the Out Music Awards that were held last Sunday, and I went to a lot of events coming up to that date. I saw lots of artists that some I already knew, some I met for the first time. The awards themselves were very good. I brought a couple of the songs that won awards to play tonight. We can squeeze them in between segments. So,
excellent.
Well, we might be able to do that tonight.
I'd say so.
And on tonight's show, we're hoping that Randall Ellis will be calling us soon to give us a wrap-up of the Texas legislature. And also talk about what happened over the weekend in Austin with their Pride Festival. And I was up there along with some of the people from the Pride Committee. Actually, let's back up and first talk about the grand opening of the kickoff party.
And where was that?
That was at Chase Bank.
That's right,
JP downtown.
Morgan Chase downtown, and the idiot from Katy went the wrong way down a one-way street and got a warning. Didn't get a ticket, thank God. But it was an absolutely wonderful event. It was amazing. The JP Morgan Chase building is absolutely beautiful. It was free valet, great food, free cocktails, which was shocked me. They had the Pride documentary playing in the background. Many of the grand marshals were there, so we got to cheer and applaud for them. The Pride Committee just did a fantastic job all the way around. It was one of the best events I've ever been to.
It was pretty incredible. I really had nothing to do with it, so I'm neutral.
It was good anyhow.
Yes, it was. No, I mean, you know, I don't like to take credit for things that I don't do, so many people worked very hard on it, and it was very good. I mean, the fact that apparently was the first non-employee event that was ever held in the lobby there.
Oh, and they had art. They had HIV art, and they just... I mean, it was amazing. It was a totally amazing event. You know, it was just, your Pride Committee's gone upscale.
Definitely. It was really neat. And as you said, we had many of the Grand Marshals there. Unfortunately, some of them are no longer with us. And a really nice event. And then, as you were saying, Troy Christensen did a documentary on the Grand Marshals. And part of that reason was we couldn't have them all up on stage there and talk because they'd still be talking now. So he did that. He put that together and got a lot of history. And we're working on it. And actually, I'm not working on it, but one of our fellow KPFTers, Dennis Feather, is also associated with independent media or the Access Media Channel here on Time Warner, and he is trying to get that played on. He's working on the details of getting it played, and as soon as we find out, we'll have times of when it's being shown.
It's finished, though, and all.
Oh, it's all finished.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. It's really good.
It's on DVD.
How long is it?
An hour. Yes, he squeezed it all.
That's great. That's history.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And definitely we'll send a copy to GCAM. I hope they have a DVD player.
Mm-hmm. And what's GCAM?
What is GCAM?
Gulf Coast Archives and Museum.
So that we'll have it for history. So that happened. There's events that happen on Saturday and Sunday, and if you'd like to catch up with all those events or know what they are, the best way is to go to the website, pridehouston.org, or to the Texas Triangle website, and I'm sure The Voice and Outsmart also has some of the listings of what's going on. I got to go to Austin, and it's their second parade, which is also a nighttime parade this past Saturday, and they had 60 units, which is fabulous for the second year of a parade. They did a great job. And then on Sunday, and we were hoping to talk to Randall about this, was the LGRL major event, which was it's the largest Pride Festival in Texas, and of course the weather was, I mean, it actually got a little bit cool in the morning, midday, and we thought it was going to rain, but then it just got so beautiful. And they had, there must have been over 100 booths of, you know, groups and companies and things like that. And they had stage, which is a fabulous stage. And probably the main performance was the Austin Baptist women.
Oh, I've seen them. They're wonderful.
They are fabulous. You know, and we talk about drag, but these people are, they're not actually called professionals, but they perform professionally. I mean, they pick these most wonderful songs that, you know.
Well, are they singing or lip syncing?
They're lip syncing.
Okay.
But they do it very well. And you know, even when they, you know, one of them will be the front singer and the rest of them will be the background singers, and they just do great stuff. I mean, they even sort of do, what do you call those, tumblewheels?
Cartwheels.
They raise lots of money.
Well, and they should for how good they are. And I, you know, it's just fabulous. I mean, basically everything stopped at the festival when they perform. And you know, it's hot out there. And, you know, every once in a while, I mean, they really do good in character, but every once in a while they sort of purposely little break out of character, like they fix their wigs, you know. Uh-huh. And so it's just a wonderful event. And it's really nice that Austin can do something like that. And the money all goes to LGRL, which is a great lesbian gay rights lobby.
And speaking of wigs, let's say the high point of the event on Friday night was Rusty Mueller, a.k.a. Crystal Rayleigh Love, taking her wig off so that she could get her pride medallion around her neck. It was awesome.
Well, everybody was supposed to turn around. I guess you didn't. You didn't.
Oh, I didn't. Sorry.
I didn't. And then tonight, there is a Grand Marshal reception at Chances, which is at like 1100 Westheimer. And that's going on right now, so if you're heading into town, you can go see that. And there's an event happening throughout the next couple weeks. And, of course, the parade's coming up. So it's going to be a lot of stuff going on. And in our second segment of This Way Out tonight, they're going to be talking about what I would almost say the Gay Awards, the Tony Awards.
It was a very gay program last night.
Yes. And a male couple came up there and accepted an award, and I'm sorry I don't remember. But
Mark Shaman was one of them.
And they basically, thanked each other for the relationship and kissed each other. And then somebody came up later and says, you know, it's just really nice, but yet it's on CBS.
I just see someone kiss on CBS?
Right. And, they did a Hairspray is fabulous with Harvey Fierstein. And the other play...
Take Me Out won the drama, and that's about a baseball player that comes out.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So that was really interesting. So there's a lot of stuff going on now, and, this is the time to go out and see things and do things in the community because it's happening. And we don't always have this, and, the film festival is still going on, I believe, and you can check out their website to see the shows that are playing. So that's, a lot of stuff is going on. And are we? Oh, we're not flying. So let's listen to This Way Out in News Wrap.
I'm Dean Elzinga.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 7th, 2003. A lesbian couple this week contracted Belgium's first legal same-gender marriage. Belgium is only the second nation in the world to open legal marriage to gays and lesbians, following the Netherlands. Although Belgian marriages do not provide for same-gender couples to co-adopt each other's children or to adopt an unrelated child together. Newlyweds Marion Heibrechts and Christel Versvivelen have lived together 16 years. Heibrechts told the De Morgen newspaper, "Marriage is the most profound promise of faith and love." While typically gay and lesbian couples compete to be the first to gain official recognition of their relationship, in Belgium it reportedly took some weeks to identify a couple who were willing to bear the publicity.
Not at all shy about proclaiming their relationship are two newly elected members of the Aberdeen City Council. As the Scottish Parliament wrestles with a proposal to create legal partnerships open to same-gender couples, Liberal Democrats Neil Fletcher and John Stewart announced their dream of holding a ceremony in Aberdeen's council chambers. They've never hidden their relationship of more than a decade, but with legal recognition the subject of heated public debate, they felt this was the time to make it perfectly clear. Stewart added, "First and foremost, we are councillors serving all the people in our wards. We are just two councillors who happen to be gay."
Jerusalem this week elected open gay Sar Netanel to its city council. The Meretz party member was running at large. Open lesbian Michal Eden, also of Meretz, was elected to Tel Aviv city council 5 years ago. But Netanel is the first openly gay man to win an elected municipal office in Israel. While gays and lesbians celebrated his victory, he cautioned that the same elections had given religious conservatives both Jerusalem's mayoralty and a strong presence on the council, making immediate progress on gay and lesbian issues unlikely.
Another openly gay elected official, New Hampshire State Representative Corey Corbin, has switched his party affiliation from Republican to Democrat. His move was sparked by recent anti-gay comments by U.S. Senator Rick Santorum, which he said truly summed up for me the attitude of the Republican Party toward the millions of gay men and women who work, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to our society. We are hated, we are marginalized, and are basically unwanted by a party that has forsaken the principles of Abraham Lincoln and become dominated by a right wing that falls far short of representing mainstream America.
Right-wing Republican U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft has effectively blocked the Gay and Lesbian Pride observance at the Department of Justice, an annual tradition since at least 1997, which last year featured the department's deputy leader as a speaker. The group DOJ Pride had planned a mid-June awards ceremony, but was advised this week that it could not be held at department headquarters. The notification cited a new, as yet unwritten, policy of Ashcroft's office that department sponsorship is now restricted to commemorations officially proclaimed by the president. Unlike Democratic President Bill Clinton, Republican George W. Bush has declined to proclaim Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. And while Ashcroft's policy may sound generic, it just so happens that Pride is the only commemoration it excludes. According to the Human Rights Campaign and Federal Globe, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender federal employees, this is the first time any federal agency has barred a Pride observance. The move has generated praise from the religious right and criticism from gays and lesbians and allies, and it could end up in court.
Where the Department of Justice failed for years, despite one of the most massive manhunts in U.S. history, a rookie cop in a small North Carolina town succeeded, and long-sought serial bombing suspect Eric Rudolph was arrested last week. The targets included Atlanta, Georgia's Other Side Lounge, a now-defunct lesbian and trans bar where five people were injured in 1997. Rudolph is also charged with bombing two family planning clinics and a public celebration in connection with the 1996 Atlanta Olympics, for a total of two deaths and more than 100 people injured. He's believed to be associated with a hate group, although he denies it.
But in Britain, where a gay bar was also once a tragic target in a series of hate bombings, the government has rejected an amendment to its criminal justice bill that would have increased sentencing for anti-gay and other bias-motivated crimes. The National Gay and Lesbian Advocacy Group Stonewall and a coalition of groups representing likely victims of hate crimes had lobbied hard for the measure and will try to get it back on the table.
The Church of England and its 77 million member Global Anglican Communion are showing deep fissures on two gay issues. One is the appointment of Britain's newest bishop, Bishop of Reading Geoffrey John, a vocal advocate for gay and lesbian rights who is openly gay. He was formerly in a relationship with a man for more than 20 years, despite the Anglican requirement that clergy abstain from sex outside of legal heterosexual marriage. His supporters within the church hierarchy are confident that he is personally committed to a personal lifestyle of sexual abstinence. While his consecration as bishop is reportedly not in doubt, conservatives are lining up to demand he leave the clergy.
Those conservatives are led by the Anglican primates of Nigeria and the West Indies, who are also among seven primates to issue a call to action against Canadian Bishop Michael Ingham for authorizing rites to bless gay and lesbian couples in his Vancouver area New Westminster Diocese. Other signatories are the primates of South America, Central Africa, Kenya, South India, and Papua New Guinea and Southeast Asia. But Ingham's most vocal opponent is Archbishop Peter Akinola of Nigeria, which is second only to Britain itself, with more than 17 million Anglicans. Three of the primates have already taken the strongest action they can, declaring themselves out of communion with Ingham. Some believe that the heads of more than half of the 38 Anglican provinces will follow suit.
Gay and lesbian couples in California celebrated the state assembly's passage this week of a bill to expand the state's registered partnerships to carry most of the state-level legal and financial status of marriage. The 41-29 vote was the minimum to send openly lesbian Democratic Assembly member for Los Angeles Jackie Goldberg's bill on to the state Senate. In debate, opponents declared the bill would violate California's voter-passed constitutional amendment restricting legal marriage to one man and one woman.
A proposed similar amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the Federal Marriage Amendment, was reintroduced by three Republicans and three Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives last week. If enacted by a supermajority of both the House and the Senate, and by ratification of three-quarters of the states, it would add to the U.S. Constitution a statement that marriage in the United States shall consist only of the union of a man and a woman. Neither this Constitution nor the Constitution of any state, nor state or federal law, shall be construed to require that marital status or the legal incidence thereof be conferred upon unmarried couples or groups. Last year's version died with no action taken.
There was good news for transsexuals in Lithuania and South Africa last week as each nation's government approved the introduction of bills to legally recognize gender change following sex reassignment surgery. Those bills will be considered in the national parliaments.
In Uzbekistan, three journalists active for media freedom have been arrested and one charged for homosexuality. New York-based Human Rights Watch has called attention to the situation, saying it has grounds for strong suspicions that the charges against Ruslan Sharipov are politically motivated persecution. Its spokesperson added that the authorities would charge him with committing homosexual acts, violating his fundamental rights to non-discrimination and privacy, makes it doubly egregious. According to the Associated Press, the sodomy law is rarely prosecuted in Uzbekistan.
Around the world, the Pride season is well underway. Among the highlights this week, the 13th annual Gay Pride Parade in San Juan, Puerto Rico, where some 4,000 people marched to demand repeal of the sodomy law and inclusion of same-gender couples in the law against domestic violence.
Pride in Aberdeen, one of only two Pride events in Scotland, where a record 2,500 visitors enjoyed an open-air festival.
South Africa's Pink Lowry Carnival in Knysna, where about 5,000 visitors and many locals packed Main Street six deep to watch a parade featuring 20 floats and numerous colorful dancers.
The first and hopefully annual Anti-Homophobia Day, officially proclaimed and partially funded by the government of the Canadian province of Quebec, began with the ceremonial raising of the rainbow flag in Montreal alongside the city and provincial flags, and launched a public education campaign by the group Gay Écoute that features pictures of gay and lesbian couples on flyers, posters, and billboards across the province.
And finally, openly lesbian French tennis pro Amélie Mauresmo was knocked out of the French Open this week in a quarterfinal match against Serena Williams. Hopes had been high for Mauresmo, who went in ranked number 5 in the world and the only one to have defeated both Williams sisters this year. But while Mauresmo is still looking for her first Grand Slam title, she's already been granted a form of immortality. Last week, she was unveiled as the only tennis player represented by a wax figure in Paris, Escrivain Museum. Already a big celeb in France, she also gained a new level of exposure in May, appearing on the cover of Paris Match, topless.
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 7th, 2003, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Dean Elzinga.
Spring is here and my domestic partner is too. Whoa, 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 we'll put a sign that says just married on our Subaru. We'll say I can't because we can't say I do. At a wedding ceremony worth manure. You see, we're going to the chapel, but we cannot get married. From Vermont to Minneapolis, no, we cannot get married. Gee, I really love you, but we cannot get married. Locked out of the chapel of love. Two bells may ring and the sun may shine. Whoa, whoa, whoa. But 1,000 tax breaks will never be mine. Oh, and when I hold you close, in half a state it's a crime. Confused matrimony and love. Don't ask, don't tell Annapolis you wanna get married. It's a vinegar and papalis to keep us from getting married. Gee, I really love you, but we cannot get married. Locked out of the chapel of love. Down in the Big Apple, no, we cannot get married. Clearly we're on the map, let us legally get married. Gee, I really love you, but we still cannot get married. Locked out of the chapel of love. Whoa, 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 whoa. Until people grapple with
those are the Kinsey Six on Queer Voices, Locked Out of the Chapel of Love. And Jack, I bring that up because although we haven't heard yet from Randall Ellis, I went to the LGRL website and there's an article up there which actually quotes him about the DOMA legislation which was signed into law. And Randall says on this article on the website, from the onset, the new leadership in Texas has placed this bill on the fast track, pushing its social agenda despite a $10 billion deficit, insurance crisis, and director of financial crisis. Lesbian Gay Rights Lobby of Texas, the statewide gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender advocacy group that spearheaded efforts to defeat the bill. Continuing to quote, GLBT Texans are denied hundreds upon hundreds of rights because they are not allowed to marry the person they love. The time for demanding equality is now. This is not the end of the issue.
Well, yesterday was an incredible day. The festival went from noon to 8 p.m. and Randall was there and all the other LGR people and the volunteers and stuff. So I'm sure he is just, you know, just tired out. And the session ended last Monday, and there's probably going to be a special session called either in the end of June or early July.
To deal with the real issues.
Yeah, to deal with some of the issues they've been dealt with.
And to try to bring up redistricting again, apparently.
Yeah, that's what we understand. So
any out-of-state trips planned?
I don't know. I guess Randall's probably still cleaning up his guest bedroom.
So all that stuff is going on, and, you know, it's just a really scary time now with everything, you know, going on. They can't fund the schools, they can't fund, you know, they really can't fund anything. Healthcare.
No, they can fund the corporate interests.
Yeah, yes, and,
and they do.
So, the LGRL website's actually a pretty good website because it gives you a bunch of information on what has happened, what's going on.
And other ways that you can get involved, too.
Right.
There are also articles here about Texas Gay Pride Weekend and the Texas Gay Pride Festival.
Right, which happened.
Oh, it did happen?
It happened, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. You know, my understanding is that Texas probably has one of the best gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender lobbies in the country. It's been going for quite a few years, and they've done some really. They're up against some tough odds because our lobby is so much smaller than the corporate lobbies.
Right.
So, do you have some more music for us?
Yeah, I brought a song with one of the winners of the Out Music Awards. They have a category that's very popular called Out Song of the Year, and that's songs without lyrics. And it was a three-way tie this year. And two of the songs I've already played on my show in the past, Justin Tranter's song Blend In and Mark Weigel's song, I can't think of the name of it.
Well, I'm sure once we play it, you'll know.
Well, that's not the song I'm going to play. The song I'm going to play is a very charming song by a woman who sings it partly in Russian. Her name is Irina Rifkin. In Russian, it's Ya Ilo Yeblu, and it means I love her.
I'm visiting my parents this week, and I've been with you a while. I said I think it's time they meet you. You look at me and smile. I'm nervous as I'm talking to my mother on the phone. I ask, can I bring her with me next time I visit home? I don't like that you're like that, she says. She doesn't seem to see that there is only good in this. Does she herself feel free? I tell her, yo, yo, no blue from deep inside, that's how I feel. Yo, yo, no blue, there's no denying this is real. Yo, yo, no blue, she'll always be part of my life. Yo, yo, no blue, she is my love, she'll be my wife. Yo, yo, no blue, как счастье, что я нашла. Yo, yo, no blue, и бежит с ней мне радостно. Yo, yo, no blue. Это жабро опять скажу. Я ее люблю, но трогает душу мою. She says, well, you can bring her if you just act like friends. I said, okay, then I won't kiss her, but I cannot pretend. And even without touching or saying who she is to me, the sparks that glow between us may be something you'll still see. Because yo, yo, no blue from deep inside, that's how I feel. Yo, yo, no blue, there's no denying this is real. Yo, yo, no blue, she'll always be part of my life. Yo, yo, no blue, she is my love, she'll be my wife. Yo, yo, no blue, как счастье, что я нашла. Yo, yo, no blue, и быть с ним не радостно. Yo, yo, no blue, это шабро опять скажу. Yo, yo, no blue. At my parents' house, we are careful not to touch. But the way your eyes dance with mine and our smiles say so much. My mom meets you and she likes you. She don't protest, you're not a guy. She says she's happy we're together. Maybe she sees now why. Ай-яй-яй, я тебя люблю. From deep inside, that's how I feel. Я тебя люблю. There's no denying this is real. Я тебя люблю. You'll always be part of my life. Я тебя люблю. You are my love, you'll be my wife. Я тебя люблю. Как счастье, что тебя нашла. Я тебя люблю. И быть с тобой мне радостно. Я тебя люблю. Это ж добро опять скажу. Я тебя люблю. Ты трогаешь душу мою. Я тебя люблю.
This is Queer Voices.
We have with us Lucy Watson and Pat Gandy to talk about a Pride event that's coming up very soon.
Yes, this Saturday, June the 14th at the Montrose Clinic, the Lesbian Health Initiative, in collaboration with the Montrose Clinic and the MD Anderson Mobile Mammography Program, will be holding our twice yearly, at least, health fair, offering free mammograms and pap smears and HIV testing and counseling, blood glucose testing, blood pressure checks, and a lot of educational materials. Kelly McCann of the AIDS Foundation Houston will be there to speak around lunchtime. So it looks to be a good event.
She's going to have a wonderful talk, too, I hear.
You're going to let her talk.
Oh, yeah, we're going to let her talk, because she has a great message, and we hear it's really humorous and funny. Have you ever heard her?
No, I haven't.
Well, what was that you said? She's got some kind
of... She has a new product called Addendum.
Addendum. Yes.
So I've never seen this.
Is it
we're going to find out.
Yes. Yes. Well, I don't know. You sure it's legal? Let's see. So
yes,
much
it is.
Isn't.
After all, this is Texas.
Yes, after all, it is. Yes.
Well, why is this important? Why do you all do this?
Because a lot of women don't have health insurance, or they don't have.
A lot of
well, woman exams are not covered by their insurance.
Right.
So.
A lot of people don't have insurance, but I would guess that. It's more so with women?
Exactly.
Yes. It seems to hit them first, and our community even more so. And a lot of the LGBT women feel uncomfortable going to some of the regular medical people, and this gives them a chance to come to some place where it's safe, non-homophobic, non-judgmental, and they feel good about doing that.
Certainly on the HIV side, a lot of us have had to educate ourselves.
Yes.
And, you know, and sometimes as we've had the Center of AIDS people on, you know, they have to educate the doctors because they
yes,
don't, you
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
So I would imagine the same thing about lesbian health.
That's true. And there's a component of HIV that we're becoming aware of, that lesbians are much more liable for HIV than we thought in the past. More studies have been done, and of course, as you well know, Jack, it's risk behaviors is what we have to worry about in educating folks, and lesbians apparently are some of the world's worst. And due to we just worked with the University of Houston, Lucy?
Well, it was.
City of Houston, that's right.
Their AIDS and STD prevention program. We got a contract from them for a grant to study risk behaviors for HIV and STD transmission. And it was completed the first of this year on lesbians and on African-American women. And it did show that there is some risk.
Don't you think some of that, though, is because for years and years and years, people were told that it's very rare that lesbians can get AIDS?
Yes.
And, I mean, it creates, like, the false sense of security, I think, in some cases.
Yes. Yes. I'm sure that is. So like Jack said, so little was known, even sometimes in the men's community, they had to educate the doctors. But the men's community got busy as soon as they could and mobilized for education and for intervention, and lesbians were, you know, it was just a joke, you know, if God was punishing gay people, they sure, but lesbians must have been
well, you don't exist,
you know. Yeah. That's right,
exist.
We don't exist, right. Actually. But joke aside, there is significant evidence that lesbians are more at risk. In fact, there's been one person diagnosed, as far as they can tell, that it was through risky behavior and not through blood transfers, mm-hmm. transfusions. Yes.
So, of the many things that are going on, is there one thing? Well, it's all important, right?
It's all important, yes.
We're expanding to include education about heart disease because it affects women differently than it does men. Well, almost everything affects
us
differently.
Well, a lot of these studies are done for a lot of these ailments and diseases that women weren't really included.
They were not included.
That's right.
And women manifest different heart disease
That's
symptoms
right.
than men.
Absolutely.
So a lot of times women will think they have indigestion or pulled muscles or something.
True.
And it's
actually
not.
Heart
yes.
heart failure.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely correct. Yes.
We have a reference list of gay or gay-friendly physicians that we will give to women who need it or who request it. And if we can only do so many mammograms at the health fair.
Right.
And that fills up rapidly. That's been filled for almost 3 weeks now. So what I'm doing is taking names and addresses, and we send them a certificate for a free mammogram
wow.
at the Rose.
Mm-hmm.
So we get funding for that, and through Kindred Spirits Reunion and Hollyfield Foundation, An Uncommon Legacy, My Black Tie. There's a number of them, but those particular ones have been aimed at the mammogram things.
Well, let's talk about the organization, Lesbian Health Initiative.
Yeah.
What I mean, you do these events, but how are you all organized?
Well, we have a board, and it varies in size depending on the number of people who have the time and the energy.
All volunteer?
All volunteer. We have no paid people. Lucy and I are Lucy's president.
You're full-time volunteers.
Yes, yes. Yes. I'm secretary, and I'll tell you, if we could hire a person to do what we do, and it would be too much almost for them. And then we rely on the rest of the board to volunteer about things. There's so much out there to be done, as you well know, having been around in the community lots longer than me, even.
I think we could probably argue about that.
Well, no, we can't argue about that. I've only been out about 15. 17 years.
Well, I've 20 years.
Oh, mine's well, years, gosh, so. It's we're almost.
I didn't start real early either, so.
Okay, but we just Lucy and I are of a mind that to those who are given advantages and good luck and good health and reasonably, it is up to us to lend a helping hand to those who are more needy than us and who do not have either the knowledge or the resources or the will to do things for themselves. And we're happy to do it. We were raised to be that way in our own families. And so we just sort of naturally fall into it. And I think anybody who volunteers in all these organizations, they just were raised that way to begin with.
Well, we're both retired, and we have the time to devote to it. So it's easier for us to do it than it is for a lot of people. The other people donate their time and energy as they have time to do it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing, too, women, irregardless of your circumstances, women tend to be so busy. Women are very bad about putting off going to the doctor. Women are very bad about trying to work through things. Oh, it's not that bad. Oh, I'm not that sick. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll take care of it later. And I think it's just really important for people to get out there and say, no, take care of it now.
Yes.
And that old thing about an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure is absolutely true.
Lots of those little old things are pretty true, you know?
It is absolutely true.
You know, stress levels, things like that, you know, those sayings seem to work on that a lot. You know, and I'm sure a lot of the models that were used for, you know, people taking care of them with HIV are models for, you know, so many other things.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, unhealthy lifestyles are just out there, you know, whether it's fast food or, you know, we're always rushing to do
smoking or drinking
too much. Excessively.
Yeah, we are well aware of that. And I don't know, you know, sometimes I think that all of us as human beings are a little bit remiss in taking care of ourselves. I think men are worse.
Men are terrible. Believe me, I know.
It. But women are, when you get up around 40, women are a lot more cautious, I think, than when we're younger.
Well, how do you get the word out to other?
Well, this is one way.
Yes.
Coming on the radio, we have word of mouth and email and that sort of thing.
We publish a newsletter at least twice a year, and it's about 10 or 12 pages now. And we include in it information that's of help to women in the community to find help. There are references, there are educational articles, and things that health-wise that are happening in the community.
And we have a rather extensive mailing list that we mail into. It's nearing 800 to 1,000 right now.
And we have a website.
which is www.lhihouston.org. That's the website.
Well, we're getting right into the modern
right in
world
there.
Here, aren't we?
Yeah, and we have email also, which is lhi@lhihouston.org. All little letters. And we want to encourage people to contact us if they have any questions, either through email or a phone number, which is 713-603-0023.
You know this well, don't you?
Well, yes, I've been around.
You're wise to me.
Maybe I anticipate you. You great minds are the same. Channels, Jack.
Well, speaking of shameless promotion,
yes.
As you just handed me this, this is really neat. Kate Clinton, you know, Hillary's sister.
Yes!
Sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law, right. Valentine's Day next year, February 14th. This is great. She's fabulous. You know, and sort of let's share a little political story. Years ago, my friend Dale Beverly and I were at, I think, Stages Theater, and we were like one of the four men in the audience watching Clinton, but it was so fabulous. You know, she is just great.
She really is. A year ago, we had I think we were on your program last about a month before Valentine's last year, and we were having our first annual, which is not going to be annual, health fundraiser for LHI, which is this Valentine event, and we had Suzanne Wettenhofer and she's very good also. We had close to 400, how many, Lucy?
396.
Great. 396 women, and we could have sold 50 to 100 more tickets if we had had room to put them in that. We're in a bigger venue this year. We're going to be at the Hobby Hilton Hotel out by Hobby Airport, which is a beautiful hotel, I might add. Don't be put off by the
airport
fact that
hotel,
it's
right.
Yeah, it is across the street. It's not, and it has a huge and beautiful ballroom, and the decor is gracious and charming in the Mexican genre, and I think it's just lovely, and we're hoping to have 600 screaming lesbians there. So everybody pay attention to the scuttlebutt and the advertising that we do, and read our subscribe to our newsletter if you want to get all the good poop about health and about what's going on in the community. Call us with your address at your email, and we'll get the word out to you.
Okay, well, let's focus on what's coming up now. On Saturday, June 14th, it's Pride event, and that is the LHI Rainbow Health Fest. It's happening at the Montrose Clinic, which is just down the street here from KPFT, at 215 Westheimer, just inside the Montrose area. If you want some more information, you can go to the website, www.lhihouston.org, and Lucy and... Pat, I would like to thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, very much. Thank you so much.
Okay, and you're listening to Queer Voices.
Join the Pride Committee of Houston as they celebrate the 25th anniversary of the city's annual Pride Parade. Parade will kick off at 8:45 p.m. on Saturday, June 28th on Westheimer between Woodhead and Whitney. With more than 100 floats, live entertainment, and celebrity appearances, this year's parade will be a celebration of diversity and culture unparalleled in Houston. For more information on Pride-related events or becoming a volunteer for the Silver Celebration, call 713-529-6979. Or visit www.pridehouston.org. Once again, that's June 28th for the 25th Annual Pride Parade right here in Houston, Texas.
Can't stop my happiness, cause I like the way I am. And you just can't stop my nothing false when I see a Christmas hat. So if you don't like the way I look, no, I just don't give a damn.
It may have been Broadway's